This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, January 13th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, green cleaners are fine in your house, but how about your hospital? We'll get a story from the Environment Report on one hospital that has made the switch. We'll also check your forecast for Champaign-Urbana that gets quite chilly, but first a look at today's news. In a TV interview this morning, Roland Burris says he never doubted he would be seated in the U.S. Senate. Reversing course yesterday, Senate Democrats grudgingly accepted Governor Rob Blagojevich's hand-selected Senate appointee. It's expected that Burris will be sworn in as Illinois' junior senator later this week. Asked on NBC's Today Show about President-elect Barack Obama's role in persuading Senate Democratic leaders Harry Reid and Dick Durbin to soften their opposition to his seating in the exclusive club, Burris said he knew of none. Reid and Durbin initially tried to dissuade Blagojevich, who faces criminal charges, from making an appointment and suggested his pick would not be seated. Burris said he didn't think his service in the Senate would carry a taint because of the governor's legal problems. Meanwhile, Burris says he holds no grudges against those who stood in his way as he fought to become a senator. Robert Wildebohr has more.
Burris says he knows Senate leaders Harry Reid and Dick Durbin slowed his path to the chamber only because they were trying to do what was right for the people of Illinois and the Senate as an institution. In what was an acceptance press conference of sorts, Burris acknowledged the fact that his appointment has been controversial, and he said he believes those who have opposed him were all doing what they thought was best.
If you are among the many in Illinois who are disheartened by the cloud that hangs overhead and darkens our state's image, I ask that you join me in remembering the old saying, "It's always the darkest before the dawn."
Burris says he doesn't have any issues that he plans to champion in the Senate. He says he first wants to get his Senate legs under him. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Some Illinois Republicans, meanwhile, are blaming Democrats in the state legislature for Burris' likely admission to the Senate. Tom Cross is the Republican leader in the Illinois House. Cross says he has nothing against Burris, a Democrat, but he's critical of the way the appointment was handled.
For the state Democrat Party here in Illinois to allow this to happen to satisfy some short-term political gains is a real slap in the face to Illinois residents.
Cross says a special election would have been the best way to avoid the political turmoil. That plan was nixed last month by some Democrats. They cited the cost of an election and the resulting delay in picking a senator. A spokesman for House Democratic leader Michael Madigan says the Republicans' party's call for a special election was a, quote, cheap political trick. A new law requires the state's two main utilities to purchase clean coal energy. Jenna Dooley has more on where the energy might come from.
By 2015, Ameren and ComEd must buy up to 5% of their power from a clean coal facility. At the same time, the measure paves the way to construct a proposed clean coal plant near Taylorville. The plant will convert coal to gas and store the emissions underground. Bart Ford is the vice president of Tenaska, the company slated to build the gasification plant. He says the Taylorville facility might be the only of its kind for some time, so measures have been taken to make sure customers aren't overcharged.
The legislation indicates that the price that would be paid is going to be regulated. We can't charge whatever we want. It's a rate that's going to be regulated, and all the costs will be examined, and there'll be a regulated rate of return.
The Illinois General Assembly must give approval before construction can begin. Ford says the estimated $3 billion plant will take about 4 years to build. A spokesman for Ameren says the utility will comply with the clean coal mandate if and when the plant goes into operation. If it's not built, the utilities are not obligated to purchase clean coal energy. I'm Jenna Dooley.
The Illinois House is tinkering with the state budget in an attempt to avoid layoffs in three major offices. The House voted 113-0 yesterday to restore more than $19 million that Governor Blagojevich cut from the budget last year. The money is meant to prevent layoffs by the Secretary of State, Attorney General, and State Treasurer. But even if the state Senate goes along, Blagojevich would still have to sign the bill before it could take effect. The governor made deep cuts last year as the state faced a major budget deficit. The cuts required closing parks and historic sites and cutting jobs in various agencies. The House vote would allow many of those cuts to go forward, but spare employees of the three constitutional officers. An ordinance aimed at rental properties where criminal activities persist got another airing before the Urbana City Council last night. More discussion is coming at future meetings as council members hammer out a criminal nuisance ordinance. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
The ordinance would impose penalties on owners of properties in Urbana where repeated criminal activities occur, like prostitution or drug crimes. The penalties could range from daily fines to the closing of the property if a court agrees. Mayor Laurel Pressing says management is key to whether crime persists at rental properties, and she says a criminal nuisance ordinance is another tool to discourage bad management.
That if there's a lot of police calls, that a landlord could be fined. Not for the actions of the tenant, but for the actions of the landlord in failing to deal with a situation that puts his other tenants at risk.
Two Urbana residents came to last night's city council meeting to criticize the proposal, one saying it would unfairly blame landlords for crimes committed by tenants, the other arguing that innocent tenants could be hurt by erroneous police reports. Mayor Pressing says the proposal is still in its early stages and subject to change. But she noted several Illinois cities already have criminal nuisance ordinances, including Champaign. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
For the latest newscast online, go to wil.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. You might have noticed some new choices for environmentally friendly cleaners on supermarket shelves. Most people pass them over. They worry natural cleaners won't do the job as well as the original stuff. But the places that need to be the cleanest, most sterilized are finding that green cleaners are more effective. Julie Grant reports that hospitals have started replacing the old chemical cleaners with natural products.
It used to stink whenever the cleaning guys at the Cleveland Clinic needed to strip the floors. The patients, doctors, and nurses would complain about the chemical vapors, so they started clearing areas of the hospital on floor cleaning days. Today, Dennis Casey says they drive around on a new scrubbing machine.
That's an automatic stripper. It's called an orbital scrubber, and it strips the floors without the use of chemicals, only water.
The newfangled machine looks kind of like a riding mower. They run over the hospital floors, spraying cold water, and the machine scrubs. Casey says it works just as well as the old chemicals, but it doesn't smell and it takes a lot less time. That's music to Christina Ayers' ears. She's environmental coordinator at the Cleveland Clinic. Ayers says the most important part of picking cleaners and tools is to make sure they're going to work. Of course, water alone isn't enough for every job. Hospitals need disinfectants. Ayers says the Environmental Protection Agency helps with that.
EPA actually certifies disinfectants, and all products that are used as a disinfectant have to go through the same rigorous testing to ensure their efficacy. But what we're buying when we're buying the products is the efficacy of the product, not all the additional chemicals and perfumes and other elements that are not necessary for the product to function well.
Ayers says lots of people are used to that hospital smell, but that's often just a cocktail of cleaning chemicals, and it doesn't create the healthiest environment for patients and staff. They still use bleach at the clinic. It's a great disinfectant, but only in specific places, door handles and other high-traffic areas. Ayers says other places, like windows and bathrooms, can get just as clean without other harsh chemicals. At first, it was tough for some folks on the cleaning staff to accept the new fragrance-free products. Those strong smells signaled a clean room. Ayers says some would use the natural cleaners, but then spray chemical air fresheners just to make sure the room smelled clean.
Well, that's a bridge we have to cross. We have to help people understand that clean smells of nothing, and that when you're smelling all of those smells that are associated with clean, that chemical smell, smell of bleach, those perfumes, all those volatile organic compounds that come out of those cleaning products, that's really, you don't really want to be inhaling all of that product. You really want it to be working. You want to purchase the efficacy of the product and not all that extra stuff that goes into our air.
Ayers says people with asthma and other breathing problems understand that right away. And often others just need a little explanation.
Once you explain that to people, that you're using a product that's safer for the indoor air quality of our hospital, It's an easy step. People understand it, and they quickly go accustomed to the new smell of clean, which is a much more mild and fresh and less chemical smell than what you might be familiar with even in your own home.
In fact, I talked with one woman on the cleaning staff who says since the hospital switched to more natural products, she's seen how well they work and has started using green cleaners at home. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Joyce Foundation and the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In our forecast today, very cold, partly sunny, a chance of flurries this morning, areas of blowing snow in the morning, with no accumulation, however, expected, the high around 18. Winds up to 35 miles per hour from the northwest. Very cold tonight, mostly cloudy, the low around 4. Temperatures rising to the teens after midnight. Blustery Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow, the high around 25. Windy Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, with a chance of flurries, lows around 1. Wind chill readings of 10 to 20 below zero. Partly cloudy Thursday through Friday with highs around 6 degrees, lows around 9 below. Not as cold Friday night and Saturday. Partly cloudy, the low around 4, the high in the lower 20s. Partly cloudy Saturday night through Sunday night, the low around 17, the high around 25. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, January 13th, you can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wil.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.